Gordon, so you texted me a few days ago about something. You want to mention to the audience what your text was about?
I mean, first of all, I gotta say, I love talking to you because, I feel like I can have these speculative questions with you, and I hold back because we have, similar experience, and but I know you have ideas that I won't have, and vice versa.
Vice versa.
So, the context I'm coming from is that most data projects and most tech projects either fail or dramatically underdeliver, right? And I'm always wrestling with the question, how do we change this norm? And then, so the question I was thinking about when I was asking you, in the context that you and I have a ton of experience doing this, we both have experience with old tech, we also stay current with new tech, and we also think about how we're using this stuff, right, at a system level. So what if you and I were dropped into a place that was suffering from the inability to make data-driven decisions, didn't really have much in a way that looked like a modern data stack or data warehouse at all, weren't able to hire. You and I were the ICs. What will we do? How will we solve this problem?
Oh,
Right?
I've actually been here a few times. I'm sure you have too. It's an interesting question. So I guess maybe some follow-up questions are, is there any documentation in terms of how the current systems work? Are things working? I guess is the other working from an operational standpoint. So I guess let's start there, assuming that, well, let's take two scenarios. One, things are documented and things are working. What would you do then?
Well, if they're documenting and they're working, we're not, why are they talking to us, right? But really, then it's probably an efficiency play, an extension of existing solution play, right? There's something that's failing, and it's probably a scalability issue. Like if there's documentation and it's working, then they probably want to make their decisions a little bit more easily, or they want to expand it to a new area, right? I mean, I kind of think that at a high level, all you could ever really do is either generate new value or make things easier. What else is there?
Yeah, I agree. Like, I'll give you an example of a scenario where ex this exact same thing happened to me. It was a quote mature company, right? Not a tech company. They had no data team really at all, actually. The system was set up years ago. It was producing reports, but these reports were typically 2 to 3 days late because the ETL process. What was once a very quick process now took 2 to 3 days to complete. Right. And so in that situation, things were well documented. I guess it was quote working, and the business would sort of feebly accept that reports just take that long. So that's one scenario. But I guess maybe we shift to the other more. I mean, in that case, I suppose I just built a greenfield system next to it and then sunsetted the old system eventually. Right. And so let's talk about the scenario, the more interesting one, I guess, where like nothing's documented, things are an absolute catastrophe, and it's exactly the situation you just described. What would Gordon do here?
That's the normal case, right? Or maybe the answer might even be like someone says, "Hey, what's the doc? Is there documentation?" And they say, "I don't know." How are you doing? I don't know, right? So I think, so I'm hoping that my expertise is not just technology, or and maybe that's not even the most important technology, but it's really about how to get the decisions that are valuable, right? And then figuring out what the blockers are there. So what would I do here? I want to talk to a decision maker. I want to talk to some, probably, if it's a company, I want to talk to some executive, whether it be in product marketing or finance, because those are the three basic major areas, and maybe finance, because they sort of have the most structured decisions. And I say, "Hey, on a day-to-day basis, what decision are you trying to make that's harder than it should be?" Right? What decision are you
I
trying to
like
make,
that.
right? Or just harder than it should be? Or what decision do you want to make that you can't? And for instance, a decision can be thought about broadly. Then maybe it's like, "Hey, report on revenue and communicate out to the rest of the company." Okay, why is that hard? Well, it takes us 2 days to pull it onto a spreadsheet, and like, you know, I'm like, "And is it hard to guarantee the quality?" I'm going to ask guiding questions. So he goes, "Yeah, we occasionally last week we or 2 weeks ago we reported out bad numbers and we had to, issue a retraction." Right? Okay, that's an example of a decision that's hard, right? Is this problem worth solving for you? Is it worth investing? Or are you going to happy to living with it like this, right? Because, and this is where you're tapping into the subjective aspect of the decision maker. How do you make their life better? Because it's not my life, right? I shouldn't come, I shouldn't tell you what decision to make necessarily, which is sometimes we're put in that position, right? But rather, like, what decision are you making right now that's harder than it should be or not being done of high quality, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then now I can drill into, okay, how do we, you know, what's blocking it? And then do you have lack of data? Is the data not tested? Is it a lot of manual toil in producing it? I'm not going to just jump straight into like setting up Snowflake, right?
Right. Okay. So for the audience, why is that a dumb idea? Just to jump straight into setting up Snowflake or whatever.
Yeah. Hey, you know, it's like, hey, Joe, I need to do some home repairs. And you say, okay, wait. Let me run over to Home Depot and buy a whole bunch of tools.
Yep.
You don't know what I want you to do. Right. And by the way, I'm not an expert in home repair, so you need to have a conversation with me and figure out, am I giving you the right information? You know, if I tell you that, you know, like I need the house painted, when it turns out it's actually just dirty and needs a power wash, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm depending on you as the vendor to guide me to help me a better customer. So don't just run it out there and start spending money on tooling and so on and locking yourself into these decisions where they're not that important yet.
Yep.
And then modern data stack. Hey, I don't have to rush out and set up Snowflake right now because it only takes me 5 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
At least to get one user, you know, I'm not saying set up the whole thing, but like, there's no need to rush. The only reason I'm going to do that, because it makes me feel good, right? False accomplishment.
Yeah.
And I'm too old to be doing that. I shouldn't fall into that trap, right?
It's an interesting question though, right? Because you step into this environment where, you know, values is ever an elusive term we keep bandying about. But I think in this case, you know, failed data initiatives, I mean, they fail for a number of reasons. Ultimately, I think you're hitting on something though, where they ultimately, you know, the common theme is they fail because people stop caring, and they kind of move on. So the other thing I'd look at too is how much work's being done in kind of what I call dark matter systems, like Excel and so forth, sort of workarounds, right? So the questions I always ask in these situations is like, how, you know, you're hired to do this job, like, you know, with respect to data, like, how are you doing it right now?
Yeah.
And they start showing me these Excel workflows and I'm like, okay, so that's obviously a workaround for what, you know, the quote data system should have been providing all along. Yeah. And the data team that's probably no longer there. Because you bring up decisions, that there's also just like day-to-day work that people just need to get done. I guess it's decisions maybe, or just actions work as a result of it. Yeah, but it's just, right, you know. Yeah, but it's a tough one. And so the and I guess, you know, it is a chance to start over in a lot of ways. How do you address this? Do you go and kind of bandage the existing workflows, assuming you know kind of what the key problems are to solve, or do you start over? What's your approach?
Yeah, and I want to just drill into one second thing you said a second. You used the term dark matter systems, which I like. You know, why do you call it that? I have a theory why you call it that, but why do you?
Well, I mean, so the, you know, the theory with dark matter in terms of physics and string theory is that the dark matter is a substance which we have yet to actually see, but we suspect it comprises most of the known universe.
Nice, right?
Right, and in much the same way, you can make a very strong argument. There's parallels between that and Excel and similar workflows where people they need to do their jobs. The data team hasn't been sufficiently addressing that capability. And so people take it into their own hands and develop workflows. I'm sure you've seen Excel reports. I know I created these or workflows where it's, you know, macros and a billion tabs or, you know, or even different workbooks all dependent on each other. And that's your workflow.
Yep. Yeah. And I think the reason I like the term dark matter is because those systems tend to be unobservable or very difficult to observe. And why does that matter, right? Because it's very hard to improve them, guarantee the quality, you know? And then, so I think quality and safety are part of your deliverables in terms of a decision, right? So so if I find, okay, let's try a couple different scenarios, right? Let's say we find a situation where, hey, we're making decisions on a daily basis. Maybe we have a sales team, and every day we do this thing where we sort our prospects so my team knows who to call.
Yep.
That's a great decision to make, right? Right? They're calling high quality prospects. They're saving the team, the individual sales people effort. They're doing it for a centralized place. So you have a common algorithm that you can quantify. That's great. So good. So if you're happy with that already, I'm going to ask you, then I'm going to go into those non-functional requirements. I'm like, okay, you're getting your output. You're getting your list of qualified leads sorted by a priority. How reliably are you getting it? Are you getting it every day by the time people need Or are salesmen sitting around waiting for this list, right? Are they off getting a second cup of coffee because the system's not producing?
Yep.
Or how reliable are the results? Are you actually producing high quality leads consistently, right? You know, or is the system usable? Is the information showing up where people need? Hey, I'm a salesperson. I'm on the road. Am I getting this list on my phone, right? Or do I need my laptop and call up a spreadsheet or something like that, right? So I'm going to think about security, quality. You know, I've talked about this before. Like security, yep. Right? That's a really important thing. You know, am I making sure that my competitors don't get my list?
Yeah.
Is quality or safety? Is the data, are the results dependable? Reliability? Is it there when I need it? Usability, you know, is it easy to use or is it a struggle, right? You know, if it's easy to use, I bake it into my workflow. If it's not, maybe I just call, you know, maybe I'm a salesperson, I just call the first person I see, right? Yeah. So those are the things. If you're already happy with the output, I'm going to look at those things, those non-functional requirements that we don't always call out because we're not experienced customers, and say, are these areas where we could improve? And maybe that's nothing to touch here. You know, yep. Maybe the cost is, you know, this is great and you like it and it's Excel. I'm going to still tell you, maybe you need some observability and so on in case, you know, things go wrong and then, you know, you can fix it rapidly, right? You know, and you can build that into Excel if you want, right? You know, you could put tests and stuff like that. I don't really want to, but like, you know, maybe that's the scale of the organization. So that's how I would go into it. And then I would ask, like, okay, so now let's take the sales example. My people are calling their leads and they're saying, okay, great. How are you doing in terms of capacity planning? This is an adjacent problem. You want to make more calls. Are you able to produce enough leads? Do you have enough salespeople to call these? Right. How do you do your staffing plan for this? You know, that might be an adjacent, and then now I'm fishing a little bit, but that's an adjacent problem that I can build off the same data. That I can answer is the same data, right? And say, Oh, yeah. But you know, holiday times, we don't have enough people and we don't know how many people to hire. Oh, okay. Well, maybe we look at year over year trends and stuff. And now we can get to history and so on. And now we can dig into these things like, oh, turns out we don't have a good historical record because it's all locked up in these spreadsheets. Now we can talk, have the conversation about loading into a central place, giving you some charts, doing these things so that you could understand history.
Yeah. Right?
But we're incrementally moving our way there. We didn't just jump into like, let me just build you a massive sales reporting database. Right. You know, maybe you don't want that. Maybe sales is great. And what you're really struggling with is customer support. You know.
So how do you deal with this scenario where this company engages maybe you as a consultant? Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, they're probably being inundated with lots of vendors.
Yeah.
You know, all telling them that they need to buy a system, and that'll solve their problems for sure. How do you convince, or how do you help the decision makers at this company sanity check these claims? Because all too often, what I see is a lot of decision makers are just inundated by vendors. You know, it could be modern data tech vendors, it could be CRM vendors, it could be any type of vendor, you name it, right?
Right.
And this sort of starts conditioning the recipient at this company to start thinking in terms of tool success and wins like that versus what is potentially an organizational root cause problem.
Yeah.
You know, which is maybe why the data initiative failed in the first place. Either there wasn't the patience or support from the top or from the people who were engaging with the data team that maybe since left. How do you balance the temptation to throw a bunch of technology at it? Convincing the client to do the work to succeed, which is going to be a lot harder and a lot longer, to be frank.
Yeah, no, for sure. And this is a new conversation, right? So I think the first, you actually had to get a little bit meta. First, you had to sort of establish some trust and credibility, right? You don't know who I am, you know? So I'm going to have to talk to you a little bit about like, hey, why should you listen to me? You know, the Wirecutter, which is a product review site, right? Does a great job of explaining when they do review, whether it be vacuum cleaners or rock climbing shoes, they give you the bio of the reviewer and like, hey, why should you listen to me? And I want you to understand my motivations, right? It's like, so yeah. I'm your agnostic, you know, I, you know, build my business around giving you strategic advice. You know, yes, I would love to be selling you a system where I'm get lots of billable hours, but I also don't take any satisfaction from, you know, from you know, overbilling customers, right?
Yep.
And so, and, you know, and so like, you know, gonna have a little bit of relationship there and then help you understand that what you're struggling with is probably not novel, right? You know,
correct.
This problem has been solved before. What you're there's a lot of signal and noise in terms of everyone trying to, the reason people are trying to sell you a lot of stuff is because you have a common problem, right? If you had a unique problem, no one would be coming to you, you know?
Right.
So let me help you be a better customer first. And we're gonna go back to those decisions that you're trying to make.
Yep.
If you're not making decisions, there's no outcome. So maybe we look at your P&L. Where are the big numbers, right? You're spending a lot on customer support. You're spending a lot on product. You're spending a lot on marketing, right? Okay, where would you like to make improvements? Let's tap into your experience already as a decision maker running this company, right? Now, and we can say, and then we can drill into, you know, figure out who your customer is, figure out what they care about, right? You know, and then what's blocking that company from growing, hitting their goals, what's the constraint? And then you can drill into like, how well is the existing solution working?
Yep. You know?
And once you have a notion of that, I can, as an experienced vendor, as someone who's built these systems, I can kind of tell you the components out there. Like there's going to be some education here. It's like, hey, you need to be able to move data. You need to be able to prepare data. You need to be able to do analysis. You need to be able to understand it and convince people, right? These are simple verbs. I'm not using ETL, right?
Yep.
I'm not talking about generative AI, right? I'm doing both. It's like, you guys have been doing this already. You've been moving data from place to place. Maybe it's email, maybe it's spreadsheets. You've been doing some analysis, right? You're looking at numbers and so on, and you're making decisions and convincing other people in the org to follow the lead. All right, how do we do this better and at scale,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, and then what are the components? Like, oh, okay, you're really struggling to get data out of these different systems. Maybe you already have a warehouse and you have a bunch of bespoke pipelines. Then we can have conversations about using, should we be using a Fivetran or an Estuary or something like that? Or yeah. Should we be investing in that engineering team, right? Or your warehouse is really slow and it's not delivering on time every day. Okay, well, we can look into, do we need to be doing query tuning? Is your warehouse under spec? Do you need different technology, right? But I'm going to teach you, I'm going to give you some education on how to be a better customer so that you can gauge the ROI. Because ultimately, you're the one who has to do that. I have an opinion, but it's your money, right? You know, and again, continue to reinforce that, you know, you don't really know me, but here's experience. Like, I am vendor agnostic. Here's my experience. Here's the people I hang out with. Here's, right? And so on. Like, you know, like, this is a solvable problem, you know, and have you invest a little bit in the thinking. The default way of doing anything is the easy way. But in the long term, that's always the hard way. And what I mean by like, hey, you want to hike up a mountain? You could just start walking. That's easy. Just go. Right. And then you're sad later on when you have the wrong shoes or you didn't pack water or took the wrong trail. Right. The hard way is to do some planning. Go get a map, check the weather report, check your gear, maybe make a decision not to go. Right. But in the long term, that is the easy way. So I'm going to advocate you do the hard way up front so it's easy later on.
Yeah. There's a really good book that Dave McComb turned me on to, which is How Big Things Get Done.
Yeah.
I think it should be more how like big things fail. It talks about basically why is it that no matter the project we're talking about, whether it's a giant infrastructure project like bridges, whether it's an IT project, whether it's even a home repair project, why is it that we're really bad at scoping, right? Yeah. Why is it that inevitably projects take longer, cost more money, and under-deliver results almost unanimously? And by the way, the author of this book, he had a database of over like 20,000 failed projects from big to small. Yeah. And what he found was IT projects were actually the worst in terms of length of lateness, being over budget and everything else. And the things he came out, the root causes really was, as you say, lack of planning. Forecasting is another one, which people are really bad at forecasting.
Yeah.
And what he also said is forecasting it's often intentionally gamed and that you want to give a low budget number so you can get it approved. And by the time you get started on it, it's too late to pull it back. So you're stuck with it.
Right. And then you have the fallacy of sunk costs and so on.
Yep. So this factors into, I think, sort of why, you know, to bring it back to, you know, full circle, why people like you and I get parachuted in is because these projects, and there's probably a graveyard out of them, even at a, you know, at a, say a particular company we're hypothesizing about. These projects all started off with good intentions,
right?
These projects all started off with some sort of a scope and timeline, and why is it that now people like you and I have to be parachuted in and probably fail, to be completely frank? Yeah. Right? That's the reality of it. I mean, I would say that even on a good day, people like you and I are, we can be successful, but there's a certain asymptotic limit to how successful we're going to be just because of reality, basically.
That's super interesting too. And then I was actually literally thinking about this weekend in the sense of like, why are tech projects different from many other projects? Like, you know, in the tech world, we lead into iteration so much. We've built these methodologies and so on. Why have we done that? And it's because tech projects, by their nature, when they fail, they tend to fail 100%. Right? I mean, if you're painting, again, go back to painting my house. If you're painting my house, even if you do a crappy job, you know, I get some value out of it, right? I might have to hire someone else to do a touch up or something else like that. But someone goes to build you a database, those projects tend to fail 100% when they fail, right? And so what you and I might do in some ways is bring smaller failures.
Yep.
Or maybe we find the way to get you to gear back your ambition a bit, you know, do that iteration, get that smaller project to still deliver a lot of value. Give your org a chance to adjust to this new way of doing things. Because when you change the way how an organization makes decisions, you are changing the org, right? Let's say that again. When you change the way how orgs make a decision, you are changing the org.
Oh, yeah.
That takes time, you know?
Well, it does. Well, one client that I've worked with, I mean, we proposed a complete reorg of the data team, right? I mean, just because the way it was set up was dysfunctional, and you're absolutely right. It's a jarring change. And so it's sort of this reverse Conway's maneuver where you have an ideal architecture that you want to have, but the team's not set up to capitalize on it. So you're going to have to go that route, but that's an extreme thing. And, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but you are, you know, the reorg is hard. It's people's personal vested interests are at play now. And, you know, and the associated insecurities that come along with change. And so, you know, and us being the consultant that's dropped in, you know, I think the only dog we have in the fight is making sure the client has a better outcome.
Right.
Right. So I'm not scared to tell people, look, you know, certain things have to change. Certain people should be kept on. Maybe some people need to be put in different seats or find something else to do. And that's reality. But if you're the person working at that company, and again, back to our example where there's no data team left, they all took off.
Right.
That presents a very interesting thing, because what's going to happen is, again, all these dark matter workflows start popping up precisely because there's no support. People need to get the job done. And so now you have things that just sort of grow like bacteria in a petri dish.
Yep.
These workflows just expand, and it's hard. It's really hard.
It is really hard. And you notice you weren't really talking about technology there at all, right? I mean, you know, if someone, like, we get in the door because people are going to look at our technical expertise and, you know, early adopters of various technologies and so on and so on. And I bet, you know, you and I, let's say, you know, throw us in a room of 100 SQL practitioners, we're going to do pretty well.
Yep.
Don't hire me for my SQL expertise, right? Right? Don't do that. That's a terrible idea. You know, hire me for my ability to say whether or not SQL is a good solution for you, right?
Yep.
And more importantly, hire me for my ability to help you, you know, identify the problems to solve, propose solutions that are within your cost and your ability to implement, for my ability to, like, mitigate the risk of failure, right? You know, and starting simple, right? So, you know, if you and I were running a project together and just doing something, I'd hope we'd find a single stakeholder to make really happy. You know, probably start with a spreadsheet, some whiteboard and this and that, you know, get some stuff there, maybe do some, you know, some quick calculation in a spreadsheet, you know, hey, I'm going to just manually copy and paste some stuff into here, show you with this, does this graph speak to you? And then start working backwards into, you know, bigger scale where we need it, you know?
Where you need it, I think that's key, right? I mean, it might be the case that they don't need anything. The spreadsheet's right. Perfectly fine. They just need somebody to help them think differently about how they're solving the problem. That's the other thing. I think all too often, I think people in the data space, they want to do, data heroics in a lot of ways. And that involves spinning up the architecture, right? Spinning right. up the stack. And often I think that's usually the last thing you should think about. As you point out, there's MVP wins, minimal viable product wins you can get. Yeah. And just showing signs of success, right? Because once people see success, they want that too. And then that's when you can start having discussions maybe later down the road about stacks. But I think you're absolutely right. That's the last place I would look and discuss. Most people don't care. They're just like, and the thing is, a lot of people are I think have a vested interest in maintaining their workflows.
They do.
Yeah. Out of my cold dead hands is a Charlton Heston said about the taking guns away from him, right? So that's people with their Excel files.
Yeah. And because their egos are wrapped up in it. So yep. It's very dangerous. It's very threatening for people, right? And you take, frequently the biggest resistor to like a better way to make decisions is going to be the CEO.
Yep.
Right? They see themselves as a decision maker frequently. They see themselves as their wisdom and their experience is super valuable and essential to the company. And do they really want to give up some of that to a BI product? Well, you have to give them a reason why. It's like, well, so I'm not trying to take your job away. I'm trying to help you grow your company. Right? Let's make it so that you can delegate this decision to someone else so that you can think bigger picture.
Yep.
Right? Do you really want to do staffing on a daily basis? Do you really want to do do you want to be the CFO and CTO all in one, right? Or do you want to, delegate to someone else so that you can have that conversation with board members or think about, new markets to go into or whatever you want to do, and get back to why you started this company in the first place.
Yep.
But that just conversation takes a little while.
It takes a long time. Right. I mean, it's the boss. So,
yeah.
I think we unpacked quite a few threads here. hopefully it's been useful to the audience. I think that again, this is where it gets hard. Right. But this is like super common. And if you happen to be in a person hired on as an employee to accompany the situation, I would say follow the same rubric too. Like, as Gordon says, go, talk to the stakeholders to understand what they're trying to do, how they want to improve decisions or make a decision, right? Among other things. Yeah. It's just, but don't dive headfirst in technology. That's a temptation.
But it's a shortcut, right? It's a shortcut. You're just taking a gamble and you're setting yourself up for failure. Go find someone whose life you want to make better. Mm. Now, as it pertains to making decisions, right?
Yeah.
Making decisions, but go find right. Go find the toil. Right, go find where someone's got a crappy job because they're like drowning in spreadsheets and they're afraid to move.
Yep.
And go help that person.
Or just wait for OpenAI to come out with some sort of bot agent that'll do it all for you. I'm just kidding.
No.
It'll happen, but yeah, it's. Yep. This is where this is reality, right? We like to think that all the data projects are really sexy and we're going to make a huge difference and everyone's going to be data driven. This is the kind of work it takes.
Yep.
And again, it's a coin flip if it's even going to be successful or not. There's so many variables that play into this. Even if you execute correctly, over time, things could change.
Right. And so, you go back to our hiking example, you have experience and you plan ahead and you mitigate some of those failures. So like, okay, you figure out when you need to turn back so you're not overinvesting. You figure out what to do in case you have an emergency, that you have your whistle, your compass, and all these things, right?
Yep.
And that's what experience brings to the table. Yeah, so you go mitigate those failures and you heighten the chance of success.
Absolutely. But, I'll give an example with the hiking or mountaineering thing. Like, I was friends with Alex Lowe, one of the best mountaineers of all time. He gets killed walking through an ice field from an avalanche that happened about a mile up. Even if you're the best mountaineer on the planet, things happen. So yeah. Out of your control. And, so there's a good reminder, like, just doesn't matter how good you are, just things outside your control do happen, and it might wipe you out. But that's what you sign up for, right? I mean, I don't think anyone, you know, in Alex's situation, it wasn't like anyone's blind to the fact that that could happen.
Right.
But the same thing with data projects. Data projects have a bit less catastrophic ending, but you're not going to be buried under about, you know, a ton of ice, but it's almost the same thing.
Yeah. It does feel like that sometimes, not to make light of it.
But yeah.
It does feel like that.
Exactly. Well, cool, man. It's great chatting with you. Like I said, these are, and it's kind of funny for the audience. Like, this is what, so Gordon and I have a standing meeting every month, and these are the sort of discussions we have. It's always a pleasure, but then Gordon sometimes will text me, and I'll text him too. And we just, figured this would be a good episode, for the 5 Minute Friday, but yeah, maybe we should make this more of a regular thing. I think it's,
we should. Yeah. And we just grab some more voices. who else can we learn from?
Oh, we know a lot of people. Yeah. This would be a good idea. That'd be awesome. So
it'd be really fun. Really fun.
Awesome. Well, have a good weekend, man. We'll talk to
you soon. And anyone who's listening, thank you very much. I hope you got some value out of this.
Hope so. No value, no pun intended. Yeah, but awesome. Thanks, Gordon.
Cheers.